Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue. We started a new series last Wednesday on the topic of the topic is by faith. Not just faith, but by faith. That term, by faith, is used many, 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 many times in Scripture. With that, I want you to understand something. The term by faith is not an action necessarily. It's describing an action. It's how an action is done. It's actually a prepositional phrase used as an adverb. And for those of you that are grammarians and like English grammar, that's the best way to know how to say it. In other words, God uses the term by faith to modify an action. For instance, in Hebrews 11, verse number 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice." Now look at me. Abel wasn't the only one to offer a sacrifice. Cain did too. But Abel offered his by faith. Cain did not. Big difference. You can offer a sacrifice, but if it's not done by faith, it wasn't done correctly. And we went through what faith is. Faith virtually is a substance. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. We found out that substance is that book right there. It is the words of God. This is the faith. So what our actions are supposed to be rooted by faith, by the word of God. Tonight, we're going to look at the first of one of these that I think will help you tonight. Tonight, look at verse number 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Watch this. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now look at me. We are going to look tonight about Noah doing something by faith. God says in verse 7, "By faith, Noah prepared." Now, I know there's a bunch of verbs in there, but if you break it down, the sentence is, "By faith, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house." That's the root part of the sentence. Now, look at me for a second here. Noah prepared the ark. Notice it didn't say he just made the ark. It says he prepared the ark. He did all of this by faith. This was not Noah sitting and thinking positively, "Well, God's going to build an ark. I'm just going to sit here and watch him do it in my front yard. I'm just going to wait for everything to show up." No, he was obeying by faith to prepare the ark. Now watch this. Many people in that day had boats. There were many ships, I'm sure. I'm fairly sure many had large ships. But none were prepared for a catastrophic flood. Now think through that for a second. I'm sure many people had boats, but they weren't prepared for the length nor the enormity of the flood that God was about to bring. Even if they could have survived the flood itself, they weren't prepared with 40 and plus days worth of food. They would have perished on their boats. So there was a lot of preparation involved, not just in the making of the ark. Probably had Jefferson County dealing with their building codes, but that's why it took 120 years, amen? But Noah and his family would be spared by the fact that they prepared by faith. They had to prepare by faith. They obeyed God's words in preparing for 120 years. Let me say this. I don't believe it took them 120 years to actually build the ark. Even in their day, it was an enormous task, but it wouldn't have taken that long. And I'm going to show you what went into it and everything to help you understand this. Now, let's jump into this. Let's take a little closer look at Noah preparing the ark. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to make a statement here. Nobody knows exactly. We can estimate. But roughly, there was about 1,500 years of history from man being created to the flood. That's a general, it could have been 1600 or 1490 or something like that. But it's in the range of about 1,500 years from creation to the flood. And we know that by going back through all the genealogies and everything else and timing it out. And I'm just not going to go into all of that right now. But just so you know, Noah or Adam lived for 950 some of those years. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. There's your 1,500. Noah or Adam was still alive when Noah's dad was on the face of the earth. That's hard for us to put our heads around. But look at Genesis 6 with me. Look at verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and of creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Skip down to verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now look at me. The earth had gotten so bad, God said, "I wished I would have not created man. I'm going to have to destroy it and start over." That's how bad it was. We think today it's bad. I can tell you this, it was worse then. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible says that Jesus won't return at the rapture till it's as the days of Noah. Or as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he puts the days of Noah in there. Now, watch this. It is worse here in Genesis chapter 6 than it is right now in our world today. Now, everybody look at me for a second. There's some idiot preachers out there. There's in here it talks about verse number 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. There will be people that tell you that that was men marrying angels. They're idiots. Anybody that says that, they turn them off and don't listen to them. Man can't marry an angel. That's a different being. That's like a cow having a horse. It doesn't work. They're two total different entities. It's absolutely impossible. But there are people out there, these were the sons of God, the daughters of men. Sons of God are the angels, and the daughters of men are people. No. It's talking about saved people marrying lost people.
That's right.
That's what it was talking about here. So don't let these people that think they know more about God than God does bother you. Amen. So, we have to understand, it was a very bad time. We're living in bad times today. There's wars and rumors of war. There's perverseness. There's vileness everywhere. Good night. It's getting worse and worse. But it's not as bad as it was in the days of Noah. You have to understand that. Then, hang in there. It's about to get good. Number 2. God chose Noah to build an ark and to save mankind. Look back at verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Now you have to understand something. That word perfect doesn't mean he was sinless. The word perfect means complete, balanced. And he walked with God. In a time when everything is nasty, evil, filthy, vile, to the point where God wants to destroy man, and he finds one that is walking with him, Noah found grace in God's eyes because Noah was trying to do that which was right. May I say this? I said it a week or so ago. You don't negotiate with God with your spirituality. Noah was spiritual and walking with God. God had a need and said, that's who I want. It wasn't all of a sudden God came to Noah and said, okay, it's time for you to be spiritual or I'm going to kill you. It doesn't work that way. Now, God told him exactly how he wanted things built and gave dimensions, everything. Now, take your Bible, look at chapter 6 there. We're going to stay in Genesis, so hang in there for a while. Look at Genesis chapter 6, look at verse number 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now look at me. God even told Noah which wood to use. God is very specific here. He said, there's a certain type of wood I want you to use. Make the whole thing out of it. Next, rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Everybody look at me. What's a room? That's four walls and a door, right? It doesn't say one room. It says rooms. Keep going. And shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. The word pitch there is not tree sap. It's literally the word oil, crude oil. Tree sap is not, you couldn't find enough tree sap legitimately to do the inside and outside of a ark that large. And the tree sap, because of the wood, would not receive it totally. Tree sap doesn't stay in a tree. It's meant to feed the tree. Now watch this. That word pitch there literally means crude oil, tar. You mean they had oil back then? Yeah. How do you think we knew it was in the ground? Let's keep going. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, 450 feet. The breadth of it, 50 cubits, that's 75 feet wide. And the height of it, 30 cubits, that's 45 feet high. This building is 60 by 100. The ark was 4.5 times as long as this building, 15 feet wider. These ceilings, I think, are 12 feet right here. So about almost 4 times as high as the wall on this ceiling. That's a pretty good sized boat. I know how long it took us to build this building. It takes a while. Now, I'm sure it took a long time for him to build the ark. That's just the outside dimensions. Let's keep reading. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set with the side thereof, with the lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. In other words, the ark had 3 floors to it. And there was to be one window offset by 18 inches in the top. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God told him exactly what to put in there. Look at chapter 6, verse number 19. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. By the way, that was a general statement. You find in other places, I'm not going to go there right now. they brought two of every unclean animal and seven of every clean animal on the ark. Again, I'm not going to go into it. I got a lot more to cover here, and I'm going to need your brains in a second here to help me. So hang in there, and I don't have much to play with, so be good to me here. Look at verse 21. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten. That's not just for people. Imagine all the food needed for all the animals. And thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all the commandments that God commanded him, so did he. Now look at me. Noah doesn't know how long it's going to rain. Let me make a statement. Noah doesn't even know what rain is. For 1,500 years, God watered the ground through a mist through the night. We would call it like a heavy dew. And the animals got their water from eating the grasses and different things, or rivers and ponds and lakes. They didn't need much else because of the way God watered the earth every day. Now, Noah, it's going to rain. Okay, what's that? Instead of the mist coming over, I'm going to let water fall from the sky. Imagine if you had never seen rain before. I remember the first time my son Josh, he was probably about, 4 years old. We were in South Carolina. We were going to Indiana for a conference. We stopped and dropped Josh, and I don't think Jeff may have just been born, or it was just Josh, at my mom and dad's house, and we continued on. They were in Indianapolis. Well, of course, March in Indiana means it's going to snow. It's always going to snow the third week of March, because it always did. Well, my son had never seen snow. So he wakes up and my mom says, "Josh, come here, look out the window." He looked out and the snow everywhere. Oh, he was so happy. He ran to the kitchen. He looked out there. He ran to his bedroom, looked out there. He said, "Grandma, it's snowing out each window." He didn't realize it was all out there. My dad got home. He said, "Grandpa, can you help me make a snowman?" So my dad helped him roll up snow, piled it up three high, got a hat, put on that thing, put a scarf on it, made my mom get a carrot nose and put on that thing. My dad grabbed a hat, and he said, "Here, put the hat on it, put the hat on it." He stepped back and looked at it. He said, "Well, it didn't come to life." He said, "No, it's a snowman." He kicked it and went in the house. He had seen Frosty the Snowman one too many times, amen? Poor kid, he couldn't figure out why it didn't come to life when you put the hat on. Yeah. I'm not going there. Now, all that being said, he had never seen it before. It was a whole new experience. Can you imagine nobody on the face of the earth ever having seen rain? Now, God had it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, but the Bible also says that he broke up the depths of the earth. If you went down far enough here, the biggest aquifer in the state of West Virginia is underneath your feet. It's about 160 feet down under pure rock. There's enough water, our well will never go dry here. There's enough water, this water table under this property goes for miles. There's enough water here to take care of the entire panhandle for about 10 years with no other water being used. It is a giant aquifer. Imagine all over the earth places like that God put there on purpose. You say, why? That's how he purifies the water. It all soaks down in there, cleans itself through the dirt and the rock, settles in sediment at the bottom of those deep aquifers. We pump it out as wells. Now, but Noah had no idea what rain was. What did he have to do by faith? Prepare an ark. How long is he going to be in it? He doesn't know. I can show you how long he was in the ark. Take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter 7. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now look at me. It says here, the second month and the 17th day of the month, right? Let's just use our calendar and say that's February 17th. Second month, 17th day. Go to chapter number 8. Look at verse 14. Let's look at verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month of the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. That's the following February 27th, which is exactly 1 year and 13 days later. 12 and a half months. Do you think when Noah was building the ark, he was thinking he's going to have to be on that thing for a whole year? No, but he did it by what? Faith. He had no idea. He just did what God said. Now, here's what you got to realize. And everybody look at me for a second. Imagine the thousands and thousands and thousands of animals and 8 people and enough food and water to take care of them on one boat. How many of you have been to the Ark in Lexington or one of those? Yeah, about half, two-thirds of you. It's a fairly good, much of what they have to say there is good. Some of it, yeah. And they're off on some of their science. But some of the things engineering-wise are very good. How many of you know what a silo is? Okay, that's one of those big tubes that you see at a farm. And you fill those, and you usually put grains or hays or all different kinds of things in there. And it's a way of storing the food and using it throughout the winter. Now, all that being said, there's a lot of food needed for all those critters. Here's the other part of it. You have to put the weight on the ship and ballast it the right way, or it's going to tip. So there's some engineering involved with even animal and food placement. I've been to the Ark in Kentucky. One of the things that I saw, which was amazing to me, they would have about 6-inch round pipes, about that big around, that ran floor to ceiling, 3 floors up. They would use those, and they would fill those with either grains or waters or food all down the entire sides of the ship. See, where'd they get the water? As it ran off the top of the ark, they could fill up those water tubes. Anything excess would roll off. But the food storage was much like what you would use in a silo, just much smaller. How did you deplete them? Gravity causes it to go from bottom to top, and everything comes down at the same rate. You would go to each pen every so often, bringing out food, balancing that out as you go. They're going to need straw and hay. That could be stacked in there the exact same way. A lot of cages for some of the smaller animals. And I'm going to get into some of this in a little while here. But you begin to see the enormity. Do you know how much water a 6-inch wide pipe that is 45 feet high can hold? That's a lot of gallons of water. You multiply that by a couple thousand, you can put an awful lot of water on that ship. And since it's raining for 40 days and 40 nights, and here's something else you don't realize, God didn't say that was the only rain they got while they was on there. if it needed filled back up, I'm sure God sent a shower. But what all did Noah need to prepare for the ark? It needed rooms for the people, but it needed rooms for the animals. It needed cages. Everybody look at me for a second. Those of you that have been to the Ark in Kentucky, I'm not against y'all going. It's a good thing to see once in your life. There's some good things in it. I get that. But watch this. It's lit up. Noah had one window in the entire ark. Yeah. He wasn't a Jew. You deserve that one. You deserve that one. Now watch this. There was only one place where there was natural light. I imagine the ark was a fairly dark place. Now, that's not all bad, but let's just take the filling and the engineering of the food in those tubes. Did you know that those had to be placed and filled equally? If you built that thing and decided, well, we're going to do the left side of the ship first and filled all those with all that weight, guess what's going to happen? Like some of you drive. Put it in a ditch and go sideways. They had to fill them virtually equally on either side as they went to keep the weight balanced even while they're building. Say, well, it's on the land. Doesn't matter. I better not say what I was thinking. That would get me in trouble. And by the way, they could also use that same system that every so many of those tubes were vented for fresh air. You're going to have to let some of that air circulate in there where it's going to get rank real fast. There's something that animals expire called methane. Parents, you can explain that to your little ones, all right? Children, that's what your daddy does at home, okay? That was pretty good, wasn't it? I thought I said that well. Now, wait a second. Every so often, those tubes could be hollowed out. That would allow the fresh air in and out and help circulate within the ark. They didn't have the opportunity for great fans. They didn't have air conditioning. Now, there's a lot of things to prepare for. Now, I would guess one of the things that I would agree with in that they say, I believe most all of the animals God brought to them were baby animals. Just weaned. The second month of the Hebrew calendar is like our fifth month. It was April, May-ish. And all the, and that far east in the, in things, all of the spring animals were already birthed. Wouldn't be hard to take seven deer, put them on as fawns after they've been weaned, put them into a pen, and it takes up a whole lot less room. But there's something else that you don't understand because God only put one window in. There's a lot of animals that sleep in the darkness, hibernate. So I imagine there was, number one, that would take care of a lot less food, bears and different things like that. Say, do you think they could have lived that long? I don't know, but I know that they can live an awful long time without eating. But something else, even your regular animal, you take the reptiles, cold-blooded animals, they'll adapt to it and eat very little. A snake will only eat two or three times a year. If you had seven rats and they produce some rats every once in a while, you could have tossed them to the snakes to keep them fed. You wouldn't have needed milk cows as far as full-grown mature milk cows. Number one, eight humans could not consume all the milk that a cow would give. So imagine if you only had one milk goat. Goat would give you enough milk for 8 people every day. And the other 6 could have been small kids. Because they're not out grazing, they don't use up a lot of energy. And because they're not using up a lot of energy, they're not eating as much as they normally would. Add to it constant darkness. You go to places up near the Arctic Circle or above, and in the wintertime, the animals don't eat near as much, not just because it's all under the snow, but because there's so much darkness that they don't get up and move around a bunch, so they don't expend as much energy. So the food consumption is going to go way down because of all that. Does that make sense to everybody? A baby cow eats much less than a full-grown cow. Miss Master, a full-grown dairy cow drinks what, 30 gallons or so of water a day?
Yeah, well, their stomach will hold 55 gallons.
There you go. So their stomach holds 55 gallons. Some of you are going to try to break that record. Anyway. but let's just take a full-grown cow. They'll eat somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 40 or 50 pounds of food a day. But they're up grazing, moving around, all that kind of stuff. Some could sometimes even eat more. If they're not up moving around, expending the energy, and they're young, they're calves, they're going to eat even less. They're going to need less water. And I'm going to say something here. 8 people couldn't feed all those animals every day. There's no way you could feed every animal on that boat with 8 people every day. You'd be doing it 24 hours a day, round the clock, with no sleep. And I don't know about you, I don't think you want lighted torches in there around all that hay. Not for a long period of time, at least. You say, why? Where are you going to jump when the fire starts? So, the darkness also slows down. I've tried every which way I can think of to do this, but it slows down the breeding patterns. That's all regulated by light. That's how they predict when different animals come into season and different things. It's done by light. So that activity is way down. Plus, the immature animals in the first year or so of life don't do that. You take a fawn that was born this spring. If it was a doe, she won't breed until next fall. She won't breed this fall. She'll breed next fall. By the way, just in time to get off the ark. Isn't that amazing? Now, there's so many things I want to say here, but many of the small animals reproduce quickly. Rabbits, chickens. Chickens laying eggs, chickens having chicks, rabbits having little rabbits. You say, what did they do with them? Lunch, dinner. Imagine their proteins were much from those smaller animals. They were able to use that, utilize that. They're not going to eat hay. The birds and things, many of them would keep the bug population down from all the exhaust material. I'm trying to be appropriate here. Imagine all the birds and things that are rooting through that to get the food they need that they don't even need to bring on the boat for them. So God had this cycle going in there, knowing what needed to be where. Now, where I differ with the ark, they're off on their science. Well, they didn't have to have all the different kinds of those animals. Those all came later. God said of every creature. I'm just going to leave it at that. You can use your imagination however you want there. But imagine Noah had to keep also some of the seeds and agricultural roots for when they got off the ship to plant food for them to eat. It's all going to get buried in mud, folks. Now, many of your trees would make it, and different things. Not all of them, but many could. But when it came down to planting corn and beans and different things, I imagine they had to have seed somewhere. Imagine they had to have their roots and root vegetables and different things stored somewhere. It'd be like a vegetable cellar. It's dark, it's cool. When they got off the ark, they had a whole boatload full of compost. Is that the right way to say it? That they could plant in right away. God had all this and had Noah preparing the ark. I got to get moving on this one. You have to understand something. By the next May, it's planting season. They got out just in time to plant so that they would have harvest in the fall. Now look at me. Others had boats, but they weren't prepared. Noah prepared by faith. I can imagine him and his boys saying, "Boy, that's a lot of food, God. How long are we going to be on this thing? Don't worry." but don't worry about it. Just keep filling it up. Yes, sir. By the way, they have not and they will not find the ark. I hate to disappoint you. You say, well, they found something they think over in Western Turkey that they think might be Noah's Ark. It's not. Say, preacher, how do you know? What do you think they built the first houses with? You going to sleep in a tent when you got all that wood available to you? You're dumber than Gomer Pyle. I imagine for years they were able to take wood from that ark and build houses as families were being built and grown. I'm sure they would burn the driftwood that was all around for firewood and whatever, but they used that wood. That's the best timber and lumber there was. If you used the outside, your house was water repellent. Now listen, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 again. By the way, that last part was my opinion. If you don't like it, you don't have to accept it. But Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 7 again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now look at me. He didn't know what was coming. He had never seen rain. Nobody had ever seen the depths of the sea and the depths of the ground broken up and water coming up. Say, preacher, what do you think the Grand Canyon is? I think it was where God broke up the depths of the ground for the water to come up. The Grand Canyon was not carved out by the Colorado River. Did you ever notice how small the river is at the bottom? Then how did it carve it out so big at the top? It doesn't come down like this either. It's... you say, those canyons like that. Yeah, I believe those are places where God broke up the ground and the water came up. Everybody doing okay? What was by faith then? Noah didn't know how long it would take to prepare. All he needed. He just started preparing. He started obeying. Noah did not know how long he'd be on the ark or how long after the flood he'd have to take care of animals. Did you know they didn't just let all the animals off and they had all the feed they wanted? There wasn't much left on the face of the earth. They still had to have food available for those animals after they got on dry ground. Imagine they all stayed fairly close. Imagine having lions and bears and tigers sitting right next to your house, waiting for mealtime. Lions and tigers and bears, oh no. Anyway, And Brother Kevin was the scarecrow. If I only had a brain. Anyway, you had to be here earlier this week to really appreciate that one. What was by faith? Noah had never seen rain and didn't understand what it was. What do you mean it's going to rain, God? What do you mean it's going to flood? What do you mean the whole world is going to flood? I'm not just talking about locally, the whole world. What was by faith? One window in the top. The only place Noah could look was up. How do you think they kept track of days and nights? One window. Some of you that are claustrophobic, you would have had a heart attack on that boat. But it's 450 feet long, preacher, three floors. Yeah, but if you can't see nothing, you'll get claustrophobic. And the farther down you go, the darker it gets. And then one of those old wolves starts howling. Or you hear some bear going. Yeah, we're going to feed him with a long pole. Noah didn't even know how long it would take for him to be back on dry ground. He never asked God, from what I can see. He just said, okay, God, let's prepare. Let me say it this way. Noah couldn't conceive world destruction. Did you ever watch some of the video footage taken after World War II? Of places like Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Hiroshima was bombed and the entire city was leveled for miles. And you see pictures of people wandering around, their clothes blown off, their burnt flesh, parts of their bodies are gone, and they're just wandering around, can't figure out even where they're at. That's one city. Imagine the whole world looking like that. And the only eight people on the earth are who you spent the last year with on stuck in a boat with. Yeah, it was worse. Worse than that. Imagine all that Noah had to do to prepare. Watch this. He prepared by faith. The preparation was by faith. Not by knowledge, but by faith. Noah prepared all of it, not able to see how bad it was really going to be. Imagine stepping off that boat for the first time in over a year. And everywhere you look, it's destruction. Boys, you thought it was bad before? You ain't going to want to see this. Others built boats. Others had food stored for tragedies. Others had built storehouses and stuff for financial planning and this, that, the other thing. But only one did God use to, by faith, build and prepare an ark. Everybody look at me. That one little statement. By faith. Noah. By faith. Noah. I just hit the tip of the iceberg on that one tonight. It's deeper than that. But it gives you a little idea what it means to mean to live by faith. By faith, prepare. By faith, prepare. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope as you read your Bible, maybe we'll begin to prepare our lives as God used Noah to prepare an ark. May we learn to prepare by faith.